Lemon Pepper Parlay is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. Must be 21 or older. That's right. It's another edition of the Lemon Pepper Parlay podcast. I'm Martin Weiss, joined here with just the kid from Kansas City, Mark Gunnels. How was it, Cinderella?
I'm glad it's the last time you can mention this.
Yeah, it is pretty much the last time I can mention it. Although I did notice that your Twitter page was completely devoid of any retweet or likes of your debut down Hollywood Boulevard.
That's not true. I did retweet it. And I quote tweeted it.
Did you?
Yes.
Did you?
Yes.
Are we sure? Did you put the time in city that you were in when you did it?
No, I did not.
Okay. Because you know now it just says tweeted from Earth. But how was it? How was the reaction? How did you feel afterwards after seeing it all out there in the open? I think you did a great job.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got to embrace it. You know, I mean, you can't hide from them at that point when you're in it, right?
There was no hiding on Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah, so when you put that the outfit on, you got to just go into character.
What was the best moment? What was the worst moment?
The best moment is when I met that KU alum. When I told him that my bracket sucked because of Kansas, and he said, yeah, I went to KU, actually. You know, we'll get him next year. And, you know, it made me feel good.
Solidarity.
Made me feel good. The worst moment, it's not really even a worst moment. It was a funny moment when a guy wouldn't let us, like, go up the steps, the security guy. Okay. He was, like, really being a hard about that. But, you know, we ended up working it out.
I remember, I thought you were going to say the worst moment was when that guy gave you a hug.
Oh, I forgot about that.
You did not want to see that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was a good humane moment.
So, congrats to the prop quiz winner, Yuan Rowe. He gets a gold hat. Mark Gunnels, are you ever going to win a gold hat? The clock is ticking.
Yeah,
people want to know.
I will.
This is like Giannis a few years back. Are you going to get a title or not?
Well, did he get one?
Yeah, look, KD had his too small shoe. Who knows? Mike Budenholzer, we'll talk about the first round post-mortem in just a moment. But I'm just saying, hey, you're pre-Giannis right now. This is KD before the Warriors.
Well, they all ended up with rings. The two guys you mentioned, KD and Giannis. So I think I'm on a good track.
All right, don't end up like Charles Barkley in that commercial talking to young Charles Barkley. He said, how many championships are going to win? You'll be surprised.
It's coming. Talk soon.
Talk soon. Okay.
Talk soon.
All right, basketball, Yoda. All right, let's take a quick break and get into I'll let Mark take a victory lap over his Western Conference predictions.
Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All of this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns reward credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using code OMAHAFULL and then place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great, you keep those winnings. But if you lose, you get the stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and up only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. New users and first $10 wager only. Must register with the eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Bet maximum bonus bet $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to the account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. No one is stopped before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, and Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369.
Congratulations, you lucky son of a gun. Because you know what? You said Malik Monk is a home merchant when you texted me that. You know who is a sleeper cell agent? Harrison MF and Barnes. Harrison Barnes. Harrison Barnes somehow in game seven managed to go minus 14 in 14 minutes of play. That, my friend, is impressive negligence.
So he averaged minus one per minute.
I mean, it's incredible. But honestly, so like everybody, you know, is saying, you know, Steph Curry, 50 burger, amazing, platitudes, you know, put that light-skinned guy on a super pedestal. Mm-hmm. Not knocking it. Did have 38 shots. Still not knocking it. Kevon Looney is like, it was one possession in the third quarter of game seven where I was like, damn, this is all going downhill right now. This is over.
And must have been in the third quarter.
That's what I'm saying. The third quarter of game seven. They had four offensive rebounds on one play.
Yeah.
And the entire time, I've already been like, it's a critical of some of the coaching decisions of the teams that lost in the Western Conference Finals, sub the Timberwolves, I don't care, right? And the Clippers, they were just too hurt.
Yeah.
But, dog, they don't have anybody on, like, that's one of those moments to me where Looney had 10 rebounds in the third quarter. The Kings had 9.
Yeah.
That, like, Looney had 10.
Yeah.
Like, you got to call timeout or something and, like, find somebody who will do it. Like, find somebody who will go get the ball.
What happened to Alex Len?
I was thinking, like, we got 7-footers on the bench. Alex Len was getting run in the beginning of the series.
Yeah.
And then, if you want to talk about from the beginning of the series to the end of the series, Steph Curry's running around like a daredevil. I don't know. Davion Mitchell was, like, built to guard Steph. He was built for it. That's what he just, like, just tell him to stop shooting so many threes.
Yeah.
But no, we got to have Kevin Huerter out there and his 1-for-8. Kevin Huerter has made 3 more jump shots than me in the last 3 games he's played.
That's not good. Yeah, I was wondering where Alex Len was at because, like you mentioned, early in the series, he was getting some tick.
And he was productive. Protected, blocking shots.
Yeah, rim running, getting some dunks. I mean, I don't understand why he didn't play at all. He played, what, 3 minutes in game 7? When he had other games, he had 13 minutes, 12 minutes, 11 minutes. You know, they could have used him for a good 10 to 15 minutes on game 7. I don't understand that.
In
one game, he had 13 minutes. He had 7 rebounds in 13 minutes.
Sounds like Kevon Looney numbers. But oh, my God. And it's one of those. I'm watching Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson. And one of them goes, you know, it's not all on Sabonis. And then they run a montage of Looney literally getting 7 rebounds over Sabonis. And I'm just putting it out there on notice, on wax. I don't ever want to hear about it again. Don't ever tell me about the second best passing big man, all of that. If you can't make 15-foot jumpers or a man gets more rebounds than your entire team in one quarter, you're not an all-star.
I mean, that still doesn't change the fact that he's the second best passing big man.
You're not an all-star. No, 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 no.
It doesn't change. Those are 2 different things.
Because it's like his passing was completely mitigated by the fact that they don't have to guard you. Like, no. Give me at least Draymond will shoot the ball.
Is that a good thing?
Look, if you're out there.
But I feel like Sabonis actually has some touch. I don't understand why he doesn't shoot that more.
Well, I'm not here to understand why or why not. All I know is he did it. And watching Davion Mitchell, the staple to the bench in game 7.
You sound like somebody that lost a series bet.
Bro, because, I mean, there were so many opportunities for them to win it. And then after De'Aaron Fox's finger got hurt, it was, I mean, then the margins got slimmer. Right? Every single game in that series, I thought the Kings were the better team. Game 7 was just one of those moments in which you have a all-time great player literally refusing to lose. And I love the story of how he's like, if y'all ain't sick of this, whatever, get on the bus. If y'all go home.
Yeah, what a speech.
I hear it. I got it. But, like, Wiggins and Thompson combined for like 7 for 30. Like no one else came along. Jordan Poole was playing soccer instead of basketball out there. It was him and his rebounders.
Yeah.
Steph Curry and the Rockettes. Like it was, but hey, you know, more power to him.
Well, did you at least hedge when I asked you to after game three?
Of course not.
Oh, man.
Of course not.
He was all in on SAC.
I mean, I really do feel, though, Fox's finger doesn't break. We're talking, we're having a whole different story.
It seems like that's always the Warrior story. Every year.
But, I mean, it is what it is. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
Chris Paul getting hurt every year in the playoffs.
But, you know, Clay's been hurt. You know, they've, you know, it all comes around for everybody. But he was, you could tell definitively when he got hurt based off literally the way he started to play.
Yeah.
Like, you could tell. Kudos for him for gutting it out because without him, they had no shot. But he was a ghost. But that I want to go from there to the Lakers now. Lakers Western the second round. The Lakers are going to blow this team out of the water.
Oh wow, Martin giving Lakers some love on this show.
Well, it's.
I guess these are two teams that you don't like, so it's like you got to pick the lesser of the two evils because you were never high on the Warriors or Lakers all season. So it's kind of this is like a sick matchup for you personally.
It is. I just don't ever ask me to watch basketball before Christmas ever again. Because it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant.
We got a 6 and a 7 seed, baby.
Yeah, it has no bearing on what's going to happen towards the end. So, like, you know, call me when the trade deadline starts, and then I'll determine what's going on. Because I had the bias of, I don't know, the 60-some games from the, you know, of the 80 in the regular season for the Lakers to think that this is not a very good team.
Veteran leadership matters this time of year,
Shut
Martin.
Shut up.
And playoff experience.
Shut up. I saw D'Angelo Russell's playoff experience last year. I was there. I watched it.
And he looked pretty good in game 6 against Memphis and last night in game 1.
Speaking of, oh my God.
Can we touch on Memphis real quick?
Yeah, we can't touch on Memphis real quick because if you're going to sit up here and tell me that Dylan Brooks by no means is allowed to come back.
Under any circumstance.
He's not even allowed to fly back into Memphis. All right, don't even think about coming to Tennessee.
You can't even say what's up to Yo Gotti no more.
Bruh, so why didn't you think he couldn't not say what's up to the court at any point? Like, Josh, look, the Knicks traded for Josh Hart. Josh Hart is making huge impact in the first round and the second round so far. Lakers, we just talked about their trades and how big of an impact that they made, right? Who else made deals at the deadline? I'm trying to, regardless. The Grizzlies made a trade for the league leader in three-point percentage. He has won three-point contests and instead said, "Nah, we got to trot out Stone Cold Dylan Brooks out here who's both dressed like a wrestler and shooting Stone Cold from the floor."
Yeah.
Putting up dates in February for his box score.
Yeah, and the difference is, I know the argument is, well, he brings something defensively that Luke Kennard doesn't bring. But I saw him getting cooked consistently on the defensive end of the ball. So that negates that advantage he has over Luke.
I'm changing the whole narrative. I'm with this. You can't be an all-star. If there's certain things you got to be an all-star. You can't be a defensive specialist if you guard Rui Hachimura. You can't be.
Yeah, you should be on LeBron.
Because I was at the game in which LeBron hit the thing that sent it to overtime.
Yeah.
It was Xavier Tillman and Jaren Jackson Jr. riding a bicycle made for two. And Dylan Brooks was over there posted in the corner locking up Austin Reeves.
Well, LeBron did get him on that 1-and-1. Was that the force? Oh. Or I can't. No, it was in overtime when he had that 1-and-1. He started going crazy. Oh. That was on Brooks.
Oh, so
that play.
He fouled him.
Yeah, when he fouled him.
Defensive specialist. Right. No, got you. I mean, it was so frustrating because it's like, you telling me that we need Dylan Brooks' defense when D'Angelo Russell's going for 31. like, no, let's go score some buckets. And then you know what I'm talking about? Another thing about his defense, after he hit LeBron in the nuts, Grizzlies going like a 25-2 run. Why? Because your otherworldly point guard who could jump out the gym but can't shoot a lick needs a little bit of spacing.
Yeah.
When it's Dylan Brooks, you can literally put 2 feet on the restricted area and let him stand in the corner.
Yeah.
The game plan is let him shoot. Make him shoot.
He's open for a reason.
Exactly. It's like, do you want to take what the defense gives you? The defense is giving you Dylan Brooks.
So where does Memphis go from here?
You know, it's ironic because I had a writing test for a job a few months ago, and there was 5 things the Grizzlies need to do. Number 2 was trade or upgrade from Dylan Brooks.
Okay, so that's off the checklist.
That was off the checklist.
By default. Just, I don't even know who they're going to bring in, but just him off the roster.
But what do they do for me? I don't know. I was thinking about this earlier. Which Western Conference would you rather be, Memphis or Sacramento?
Sacramento.
Think so too.
I'm taking that in a heartbeat.
But the problem with Sacramento is they got an all-star big money player at a position they need a player.
Talking about Sabonis.
Yeah. They need a big man.
Yeah.
It ain't good when you got an all-star big money player at a position that you need a position.
And I don't believe he's really 7'1 or 7 foot. He does not look it at all.
Look, he plays.
He doesn't play like it, at least.
He plays 6'1.
Yeah. He doesn't play like it.
Plays 6'1 for sure. Doc, we also have to apologize to the Miami Heat and also sort of the Atlanta Hawks. Because you and I made a deal, said we won't talk about these series until they matter. And we didn't get back in the studio before Milwaukee had lost and Boston looked shaky.
Yeah, Atlanta almost forced to game 7.
And it's not even just like the fact that they packed them up in 6 from talking about Boston. It's the way that it's going about it. It's just not.
Yeah, I expected a lot more dominance. The games were a lot closer than they should have. I thought for sure they're going to close it out when they were back in Boston and Trae Young hit that game winner from 35 feet. They just haven't. Maybe Ime Udoka really is a good coach.
Either that or like,
cause they just, something feels off with them.
Part of me feels like there's only like 5 really good coaches in the league.
Yeah.
Right? Because like when I was reading all those things about Ime Udoka, because you know he's obviously getting all these first year coach profiles, like, oh man, look, he's in the finals. Oh, you know he goes with me along.
Yeah.
You know, like all of those deals. First of all, somebody who by far would have benefited by wearing a suit and tie on the sidelines, Ime Udoka. Because he seems
you're not liking the jumpsuit.
First of all, I can't stand it. But he had a little bit of a gut that came out of the jumpsuit. Yeah. But he seems like he would cut a striking figure in a certain tie.
Oh, you know, yeah.
This guy did it at one point.
Yeah.
Was
yeah, he's very stoic.
Yeah, like, exactly.
He's a tall guy.
Exactly.
Big
he
guy.
Would look fire in a suit, but instead you want to wear your sweats like 35. Exactly. Anyway. Pretty much all the coaching adjustments were Ime Udoka being like, yo, play defense. Get back. and if it didn't do that, then you call some names. It's like, get back on defense, you little. Eh?
Yeah.
You know, it seems like that was like pretty much the prevailing sentiment. He's like, oh, yeah, Ime holds us accountable. And what accountability seemed to be was them getting yelled at.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe Mazzulla's more of a quiet guy. They don't have, he doesn't have the ring out respect. Like,
yeah, it doesn't feel like they have a real leader in that locker room. It should be Tatum on paper. Obviously, I think he's the best player on the team. But his personality, I don't think it fits as far as that roster to be the leader. Because it's one of those situations, right, where like your third or fourth guy is kind of the quote-unquote loudmouth, right? Marcus Smart. Like kind of like a Draymond Green in Golden State to a certain extent. Uh-huh. And I think you mentioned this before. It's not really the ideal thing. Like your fourth guy is kind of the most vocal in the locker room, on the court, you know, ordering things around.
You got to be good enough.
Yeah.
You got to be good enough.
Yeah.
Like Dylan Brooks, you got to be good enough.
Yeah. Like you're punching your teammates like Draymond, but you're averaging 6 points a game. Yeah,
you got to be good enough. like Draymond, to this point, got suspended for a whole game, came back and was dynamic throughout the rest of the series.
Yeah.
You know, Dylan Brooks punches LeBron in the nuts. The Memphis Grizzlies going a 23-point run.
Yeah.
And look much better. Like,
but yeah, Boston, I mean, losing game, then back to this game 1, this series right now, without Embiid, that's not good. And I just saw a report, he set the play tonight in game 2. So Embiid will be back tonight.
But like, if I'm a Celtics fan, the thing that concerns me, James Harden, I get he went to Vegas, so, you know, he tapped back into his youthful roots.
He smacked somebody too, I saw.
But... Did he really?
Yeah, TMZ. You didn't see that?
No.
Yeah, James Harden smacked somebody in Vegas.
Wow.
I mean, it wasn't like a big, it was like a little, you know, like get off of me type smack. Yeah.
It's only, I feel like You said not a big smack. There's only.
I mean, there's different levels to smacking. I mean, it wouldn't like almost, it wouldn't like
start a, at least medium. You know, like, I don't think you have a little slap.
I'll show you the video after.
I didn't know that. Well, you went and slapped Boston.
Yeah,
but it's like, how is it that like after the fourth time, James dribbles between his legs seven times and then shoots a step back three?
You know it's coming.
But how is it that like Tatum and Brown's not like, all right, Al, I got this. How does Al Horford is the primary guard on the last shot? Like Jimmy Butler would never.
Well, they switched, and they're so easy on giving up the switch. Right.
Jimmy Butler would like I said,
fight
Jimmy
the
Butler
screen.
Would never. Like,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
Get through the screen, bro. Like, yeah. Get through. Like I'm not understanding why. Yeah.
Like it was so easy for him to get the matchup he wanted. Like, okay, if Brown or Tatum's on me, set the screen. They're gonna switch. Now I got Horford on me. Now it's time to cook. Like I'm back in Houston. It was so easy. So easy. So now they did their job. They're probably going to lose tonight, but 1-1 going back to Philly. And I don't know if you feel this way or not, but I do. I think the consensus does as well. This series is the de facto Eastern Conference Finals. Can we agree on that?
I hate I know, it so I know you, much with people.
I know you do. Oh I know you do. But come on. You know, the winner of this series is going to be either the Heat or the Knicks. Come on. Let's be real.
You know.
Milwaukee losing opened up the door for these two teams.
Y'all did this. The number one example.
Uh-oh.
The Chiefs and the Bills. The de facto AFC championship game. And all that happened was Joe Burrow walked right in.
Into Burrowhead.
21-3. Not a problem, sir. That's what happens when you have de facto championship.
I know you hate it. That's why I've got
to stand it. I can't stand it one bit. And you know what? In the Western Conference, they're probably saying the same thing. Lakers, Warriors, de facto Western Conference.
See, I don't feel that way. I think the Nuggets are legit.
The Nuggets, I think, at this point, are going to win the title.
And you know what's funny you say that? I was going to mention how the West right now, the way it's set up, this is like your worst nightmare. Like these four teams left, like you don't like none of them. You're not a Joker guy in Denver. You're not high on Phoenix. And I know how you feel about the Lakers and the Warriors. This has to be the worst last four you could ask for in the West for Martin Weiss.
I'm not trying to be revisionist. I'm not anti-Joker. I did not think he's the MVP this year. We have to, like, if you don't think somebody's the MVP, but you think that they're the top five, you, by definition, think they're a very good player.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But you didn't think Denver would come out the West. And now it seemed like it's probably open up for
you. Know what I did? But I wanted, really, my point was what I was hammering down since the trade deadline on. It's y'all voted for this dude MVP back-to-back years. They got the best team in the West, and nobody's talking about him. Nobody's discussing him. So were you lying then, or are you lying now? That was my point. That was what I was hanging on.
Well, I think it's safe to say now, based on the way it's set up, it's finals appearance or bust for Denver.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Because, look, if it's not, I'm really not watching basketball before Christmas.
If one of these Lakers or Warriors, 6 or 7 seed, get to the finals?
Yeah, like, I mean, it really doesn't matter. You mean you could just, like... All right, I know that Wiggins, personal matters of which we could not discuss or have any knowledge of prior. Like it was the state secrets, what was going on with Andrew Wiggins and his personal situation. But the idea you could just send the guy away for half the season and come back, like the Warriors, in part, won that series because Wiggins in the early games had just juice.
Yeah.
You know why he had more juice than everybody?
He hasn't played in 2 months.
Yeah, an 8-week vacation in the middle of the season.
And he's in the prime of his athletic peak right now. He's only 28 years old.
You know, I bet Malik Monk might have had a better game 4 if he had taken a month off and been able to play, you know, just 10 days of basketball straight through. Yeah. Like, speaking of, you owe Malik Monk an apology.
Why? Because he had a road game? And he
not only that. You just like, Malik Monk's not a qualified third scorer. When he didn't score, they lost. When he did score, they won.
You're right.
And he won them a game.
You're right.
In that game 6.
Yeah, he did.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about, second, third best player on a championship team.
He beat the home merchant allegations. I'll give him that. But
I had a freaking flashlight with a piece of purple ready to
go. You were going
to
light the beam?
Yeah, I was ready to light the beam.
You know why he lost game 7 in Sacramento? They couldn't light the beam anyway if they won. It was daytime. You can't do it during the day, can you? It was a 12:30 start out here.
I didn't even think about that. That's a good one. That's a good one. What were you about to say?
No, but I was going to say, I don't know. But we got to talk about the Lakers real quick. Can you finally admit they're a good basketball team? Can we finally get that admission from you? You've been that's kind of been the staple of this show since we got back during basketball season. That's kind of been the main, I feel like, the listeners' argument like against you. You've been hard on the Lakers.
Austin Reeves is an NBA player.
Okay, so tell people before what you thought about him.
I didn't think he was an NBA player.
Okay, so that's like, that's an upgrade in how you.
Yeah, like I think he's an NBA player. Like I'm trying to think of another example. DJ Augustine is the only guy that's coming to mind, but he's better than DJ Augustine. But the idea that like he'll be in the league for like 8, 9, 10 years, like he's an NBA player. Like he'll be following that on his tax return for a while.
I'll take that from where you were about a month or two ago. I'll take that.
And I understand why people like I can see like the flash, like, but it just drives me nuts because he's not. The Lakers are not depending on him in any stretch and form. And like you got Jay Williams talking about, what do they do with LeBron? Do they bring LeBron back? Are they going to take the ball out of Austin Reeves' hand? It's like at this point, then it gets to be the Jokic thing. Like I got to stop and say, hey, hang on a second. I'm watching this. Like I'm seeing this happen. Like this is not what you think it is.
I do think it's fascinating, though, the transformation in LeBron's career to this point. The fact that we're used to him bringing the ball up all the time, right, and making plays either for himself or for others. And even in crucial moments when things are looking a little rocky, like last night, for example, when Steph made that three and tied the game up, it's like, uh-oh, this is scary time. And then D'Lo's still bringing the ball up, and LeBron's off ball. It's really fascinating that we're at this point in LeBron's career now where he doesn't have to playmake every single possession. You got D'Lo doing it at times. You got Austin Reeves doing it. And LeBron seems comfortable with it. He believes in those guys. To me, that says a lot.
Well, part of it is maybe he can't anymore. And as well, I'm not trying to knock him, but it's like he's forced to. Like he has no choice.
Not throughout the whole course of the game, but you would think maybe in those crucial moments like that, like last night in the fourth quarter and top of the game, where you would think, okay, LeBron would be like, okay, give me the ball now. And he was just kind of chilling.
Yeah, speaking of another all-time great, Kevin Durant can't get by anybody. the handle's gone.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned this last series when they were playing the Clippers.
He couldn't get past Russell Westbrook and Norman Powell.
They didn't have their two best perimeter defenders in this series.
And he's turning the ball over off the dribble a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bad, man. I said Nuggets in five before this series started. I know a lot of people are enamored with the top-end talent. KD, Devin Booker, even Ayton. Chris Paul, your fourth guy, that's really good still. It's a major drop-off after that. Obviously, Chris Paul, it's on schedule. Hate to say it. I think you pretty much caught it out a couple weeks ago. He's going to pull his hammy or something, or his groin.
It was going to be a hamstring, not a groin. But, yeah. You know, poetic justice.
Yeah, it's right on schedule for him every playoffs. And the Nuggets, I don't know why people aren't talking about him or weren't talking about him. I mean, I've been high on Michael Porter Jr. for the longest. He hasn't even played good the first two games. That's the crazy part. He's played awful. These are maybe two of the worst games I've seen him play all year, and they still won both games.
Jamal Murray was terrible
game two. Yeah.
He hit a couple shots at the end of the game, but he was terrible.
Yeah, and they still won. I mean, I think Phoenix is going to still get one of these games back at home, and Nuggets close out at five, but would a sweep surprise you?
No.
No, not at all.
No, and Sal was trying to make the point, like addition from subtraction, Chris Paul to campaign, and I'm like, no, you still want – give me 45-year-old Chris Paul instead of 25-year-old campaign.
Yeah.
Like, that disaster is a disaster.
Yeah, and the guy hasn't played in a while either. I mean, just throw him into the fire like that, expect him to play. Because he's going to play, close to 40 minutes. their team just got a little thinner now, assuming Chris Paul is out. So, yeah, this team, you know, sometimes the grass isn't green on the other side, Martin.
Bro, I'm sitting there in the game. Maybe I'm at the arena watching the Clippers be up at half. They just had a tremendous third quarter. human.
Yeah, tremendous. It was just one of those. They just got hot and
it's just bang, 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 bang.
Yeah, but they're all jump shots though, right?
Yep. They don't.
They're not getting to the rim.
No, their shot profile is. They zagged and everybody else zigged, but they might have zagged.
Yeah, kind of elaborate on that since you did see them in person. Like, did you look at them even differently seeing it actually in person versus on TV? Like, what was your biggest takeaways from the Suns?
Well, I mean, it was more I was mad at Russ.
Okay.
Watching Russell Westbrook, I'm like, you could win this game.
Yeah.
That was my takeaway. This is a winnable game. And then they just, down the stretch of the third quarter, just left guys open, turned the ball over. That you could tell, like, they didn't have the fight. You know, they were ready to go. 1, 2, 3, can't go.
But was the KD not getting past people more glaring, like actually seeing it in person?
He wasn't really doing too much with the ball. He was moving it. Oh, because he was getting doubled. Yeah. He was getting doubled. But it's like, that's to me, it's like normally you had to double KD and like use him as a decoy or something like that. Like it's like, no, like you can. I'm not saying let him shoot.
Right.
But if I'm Denver, I'm not doubling anybody.
Yeah.
You, Kevin Durant, and you, Devin Booker, go ahead.
Y'all got to show me. Score 30 each in the same game.
I'm about to say, if y'all can go to 40 a pop,
yeah,
congratulations, Phoenix. You win.
Yeah.
If not, then I don't think they can.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's rough, man. How differently would we look at this team if they would have kept Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson instead of going for Kevin Durant?
Yeah, well, you know, they do have, but the thing, they do have KD for longer than right now.
Yeah, they're gonna get some veterans and, you know, guys maybe trying to ring chase this summer. This was always probably a more of a next year thing, but people were trying to rush it for this year, and I just never saw it. Just never.
I forgot to mention this when we were talking about the Warriors and the Kings.
What was that?
Draymond Green going on a podcast saying he lost respect for Sabonis for not shaking hands afterwards. Did he not watch the third quarter? Because that was when I lost respect. That's why I lost respect. This guy would turn around and put a on somebody and box out.
Because he wouldn't rebound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, that's what I lost. You lost respect talking about the handshake line.
Yeah. But we kind of left away from the Heat a little bit. What's your takeaway on this Heat-Knicks series? You know, game one, they didn't have Julius Randle was out. Then game two, Jimmy Butler was out. And he could have won that game, even without Jimmy Butler. I was really surprised that it was even that competitive because he's pretty much their only offense right now, and he orchestrates it for everybody else. So I like the Heat in this series, probably 5 or 6 games.
I picked the Knicks.
Oh, you got the Knicks?
I did pick the Knicks.
Okay.
I think I got swept up in the go, New York, go, New York, go.
Oh, okay. You got caught up in the New York
and then in the Jalen Brunson. You know, that's my guy.
Bing bong.
Yeah. You know, if it's anything, I like point guards. But like Jalen Brunson, point guards, and Jalen Brunson and point guards for Kentucky. But
shout out De'Aaron Fox.
Jamal Murray.
SGA.
I thought that Brunson and Randle would be able to play, would be able to lift. I didn't think Miami was going to have enough offense. And I thought the first round was more of a story of Milwaukee's inability to make a single adjustment.
Yeah.
But, this is one of those, man. I'm just sitting there back and watching, enjoying it. Because it's like, dude, the garden is electric when you see it on TV. And part of me thinks like, it also affects like the Knicks a little bit in game one. They could hit a three to save their lives.
Yeah.
When you're hearing Let's Go Knicks overshadowing Mike Breen's voice before the game even starts, it's like, okay, they're turning up.
Yeah.
But I think I would take the Knicks, but I mean, I don't know. It's a coin flip. I don't know. Between the 5 and the 8 seed in the West and the East, neither one of them is supposed to be here.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the championship winner odds right now. Celtics are the favorite. It's kind of interesting. Plus 210. Got the Nuggets at plus 400. How about the Lakers with the third best odds at plus 500?
It makes me sick.
Wow.
You could have got it at 50-1, 70-1.
Unbelievable. What a turnaround.
I could only imagine what the Lakers odds were saying. If you could go back to just any post-game press conference when somebody said, got to let Russ be Russ.
Oh, yeah.
And then take the championship odds right then.
Yeah.
It's 100-1.
This team started off 2-10, 0-5.
Let's take a break. all right, Mark, we got some action tonight. What's your lemon pepper parlay?
So tonight, I'm going Boston, Philly, game two. Got two plays for you. I'm taking the under on James Harden points. I know at the last game he had, what, 40 points or whatever. People are going to bet his over. It's only at 21.5, Martin. Seems pretty low. But I'm taking the under. I think major regression is on the way. Embiid is back. And they're going to make sure he doesn't have another game like that 2 days in a row. Don't see it happening. So taking the under there, James Harden, 21.5. And I'm pairing that with the Boston spread. 7.5 may seem like a lot, right? Embiid's back. I get it. But Boston's going to play with their hair on fire tonight. Going to be very desperate at home. I can see a double-digit win tonight for Boston.
You're playing with fire, picking Boston to cover a spread.
I know. I know.
Fire. But I love the first pick. I think double-double for James Harden is in play. I could see.
Like an 18-10.
I'm about to say 18-12.
Yeah.
It's right around there. I mean, he even said it in his quote. He's like, I could go for 40, but y'all want me to go for 20-11 because they say I can't win that way.
Yeah.
He's looking at a 20-11 right there. And you're sitting there mad as hell as James Harden dribbles between his legs 17 times and then throws a right-handed swing pass to Embiid instead of shooting it to get over 20 to get over.
Right.
That's a good bet. This one is a hefty odds for your boy.
Okay.
For my lemon pepper parlay, I'm taking the Sixers to win. I don't know. I don't believe that Boston has a bounce back in them. It's just going to be determined by how many threes that they make. And Philly showed me something with their bench. You think Memphis could have used De'Anthony Melton? Coming off the bench for them in the Western Conference first round. I'm taking that, and I'm taking the MVP to get a double-double. That right there is plus 580 on Caesars. Joel Embiid double-double, Sixers on the money line. So we're going head-to-head on that. Okay. 10-point win, though.
All right, should be interesting.